Really encouraged by the story, what a mission trip that we've been to. Unfortunately, I wasn't, I didn't have an opportunity to follow them, to go and live with them, but like Neville said, I was with them in my prayer. And, when those kind of things, when it happens, it's really encouraging for the church. As a minority church in Australia, we feel like when we go there, we're actually extending our hand to them and just becoming a blessing to them as they were a blessing to us. And and just like to welcome you from Eastwood. You're my neighbor. I live in Morland College, just right next door to you. Thanks for coming. And today, just like to look at the parable of Jesus, just the parable of the Pharisees and the tax collector. Let us pray. Father God, I'd like to humble before you this morning and just thank you and praise you, Lord, for your good God and a faithful God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as I come today before your people, that, Lord, I will not speak of my own words, but, Lord, words that come direct from you, directly from you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that as we come to receive your word this morning, that, Lord, that you will open in our heart a receptive spirit, that we can learn to receive your word and apply it to our lives. We pray, Lord, and thank you for your son, Jesus. And Lord, I pray that personally for me, that, Lord, everything I say and do here will be acceptable for you and to your side. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We all know that Jesus was a great teacher and a preacher. On his way to Jerusalem, he would start preaching and teaching, and people would gather, a crowd of people. They would gather to listen to what he had to say about the kingdom of God and about the nature of God. And unfortunately, as he preaches and teaches, he notices in the crowd that there was separation in between the people. There were breaks between people. There were the people who thought of themselves as self-righteous, who thought that they were right before God because of what they did, and those people who just came to listen to God, and people who didn't know God before and just came to listen because they wanted to know more about the Lord, what Jesus was all about. So this parable addresses those kind of people. It's written especially, was told especially to those people who thought of themselves as self-righteous and were confident that what they have done was good enough for them to, to be seen by God as a clean, as righteous. And the parable goes something a bit like this. Like, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and a tax collector. A Pharisee, during the time of Jesus, they were known as, bleeding Pharisee. That was one of the nicknames people would call them. Why? Because they were so zealous for God that they didn't want to sin. And just one of the ways to stop them from sinning is to put on a heavy cloak and hide their face from others so they would stop judging others and stop doing all these things. And they, in doing that, they were walking through a wall, and sometimes they walk too hard and they hit their wall on their head and start bleeding. That's why they call them bleeding Pharisees. Story goes that two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, as I said, is a man who is zealous for God, who wants to please God in what he does. And a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisee is the direct opposite of who the Pharisee is. He doesn't care about God. He serves the Roman government. He is the enemy of the state. He does everything. He cheats, he lies. When the tax comes, if it's $5, he puts $5.50 just to make a bit of money on the side. So, the people knew the tax collector as being a cheater, a liar, and somebody who God will resent and who God will not even look upon. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. As they reached the temple, of course, the Pharisee would have noticed that in his company, on the way to the temple to pray, was a tax collector. And when he noticed that, he stood in the temple. Oh, I forgot to tell you that during the time of the first century Palestine, they had a big temple in Jerusalem. And what happens in this temple is that every once a week, between like noonish, around this time, when we do church, they will have an offering sacrifice, atonement sacrifice, where they slaughter animals and they spread the blood onto the altar. And then, yeah, after the priest has done that in the temple, the people would come and pray to God. Because that's when God can forgive us. That's when God forgives them. And that's when God can, when you can communicate to God directly through the temple. The temple was kind of like a medium in which they communicate with God. So these two people, when they went up to the temple, it's kind of like the Pharisees, it's kind of like a regular thing. But for the text collectors, it's kind of a new thing. So when they go to the temple, they expect to be atoned. Because that's what happens in the temple. I don't know about this church, but yeah, we expect you to, you know, when you come as well, to be expected that God will forgive you and God will bless you. And yeah, as they go to the temple, the Pharisee stood alone by himself and said to God, "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like my fellow man, you know, my fellow worshippers right here in the temple." When they pray, they pray together. It's a corporate kind of context. When they pray, there's lots of people all everywhere, and some they pray aloud. So yeah, and it's not like our understanding of prayer. When we pray, we often go to our room and shut the door and put blankets over our head and pray by ourselves. Although in the Middle Eastern context, like if you look in a mosque today, when they say "I'm going to pray," they're going to be praying with others. So it's kind of like a cooperative legal prayer. So anyway, the Pharisee went to the temple. As he got there, he saw the tax collector. And just to highlight himself, just to exalt himself, just to push himself up so that God, you know, God will pat him on the back. He decided that he was going to use this time to advertise himself, basically. He said to God, thank God that I'm not like the other men, thieves, adulterers, and the tax collector who was standing right next to me. And he went on further to say why he's worthy to be here, you know, why is he supposed to be here, and why the tax collector is not supposed to be here. He said to God, because he passed twice a week, and because he gave the tenth for his earning. Jesus then went on to say that the tax collector, on the other hand, humbled himself. And as he went approached the temple, he stood afar. He didn't go in the courtyard. He stood afar and he looked down into the ground and he prayed to God, a simple prayer. A prayer that is full of humility, and he said this prayer, like, "Have mercy on me, O God, for I am a sinner." Well, that doesn't say much. And it doesn't say much to the crowd, to the crowd of people listening to this parable. Jesus went on to say that this man, the Pharisee, tax collector, went home justified rather than the Pharisee. Now this, for us, is not a shock. But for the people who were listening to Jesus, it was a shock. It would have been a shock because to them, the Pharisee was their hero, you know, is somebody who they look up to, is somebody who they want to be. And the tax collector is a bad guy, he's a villain. Why would Jesus say that, hey, you know, the tax collector went home justified rather than the Pharisee? Is God not just? Is he, you know, does he want to, you know, just raise up the, forgive the unrighteous man instead of the righteous man? Well, I think that Jesus understood the nature of the Pharisees that day. And he tried to explain to them that the Pharisees in this story is not had put everything he had and had put all his eggs into one basket, the basket of religious piousness and law, and that when he had done that, he had created in himself a safety net in which he can, you know, be self-reliant and be self, confident in himself that he is righteous. And when we do that, that the problem of pride comes in. And the pride that he had is clearly displayed in his prayer. When he said that, thank God that I'm not like this man right here, because I did this and because I did that. You see, when pride comes in, there's two things that happen. It breaks our relationship with God, and it breaks our relationship with others. The dimension, the vertical and the horizontal dimension which pride affects is very, very devastating. Because when pride comes in, you're saying to God that, hey, I don't need you, I can do this myself, you know? And then you have to accept me for what I've done, because that's what you say in the law. And when pride comes in, you start to measure others by the standard in which you are living. You know, you start to say, hey, you're not good enough, man. You got to step up a bit. You got to be a bit more like me, because I'm more closer to God than you. That's when pride comes in, it messes you up. It gives you troubles to God and to other people. And that's what Jesus is trying to show us here, that pride is not the way in which we, you know, we should, the attitude in which we should have when it comes to God. Especially in our prayer and in our fellowship with one another. But the tax collector, on the other hand, Jesus highlights for us that he stood afar from the temple. He didn't go in and mingle with the other people. He realized that who he is as a person is not good enough in the sight of God. And that only happens when you encounter God as a person. When you encounter God as a person, your eyes are lifted and you see the reality of who you really are. It messes you up. If you look in Isaiah chapter 66 verse 9, you see Isaiah when he met God, he realized how unclean he is. Isaiah was a prophet. And a prophet, you would expect him to be very zealous for God, you know, very pious in all he's doing. But when he met God, he confesses to God that, and to others that, you know, he's unclean. And that same kind of thing, I think, happened to the tax collector. That he had an encounter with God, and that messes him up, and that has opened his eyes, and that he sees the reality of who he is, and that causes him to clench his fist and pound it on his chest and say, God, have mercy on myself, I'm a sinner. And that is what God is looking for, my friend. He's not looking for people who can help themselves, who thinks they can help themselves. He's looking for people who he can help. And if we come and if we deny the disability in which we have in our soul and in our spirit and in whatever we do in life to be successful, we are denying, you know, God's right to be a part of our life. And that's why the tax collector was humbled himself and said to God, have mercy on my soul. And the way he compared these two, you can see that in their prayer. So they both went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee, in the Jewish tradition, you would pray a thanksgiving praise, and a praise to God and a thanksgiving prayer, and afterward you would pray a kind of like a request, a prayerful request. The Pharisee, he thanked God for, you know, making him good, but he didn't request anything. And this time of Torah where you can ask for forgiveness and you can, you know, confess your sin, he did not do that. And the text like that, he did that. he went up to the temple, and then he confessed it to God, and he asked, and he thanked God, and he asked God for his mercy. And I think that's what the attitude that we need to have when we come, when we come before God, that we shouldn't be proud of what we've done, but just go to God humbly and to thank God, just to ask Him for forgiveness. Another thing which I want to say is that when the tax collector, when he started to be humble and be he humbled himself in front of God, he modeled for us a model which we must all follow. That if we want to have an encounter with God, we need to really open our hearts and just really be broken, but try go into mission field or whatever and go and be broken and just reach out to God, and God will reach down to you. You know, when we live in a society like Australia where everything seems rosy and nice, our spirit becomes hardened and our hearts become hard. And we don't realize that the things that are going on in the world, like people who are suffering from, crazy disease like leprosy and AIDS, and we sit in our, comfortable lounge and just forget about those people and ignore those people. And I honor you guys today, that you're going out and you want your heart to be broken and you want God to encounter you. And I pray that you have an encounter and that God will change your life, and that as you reach to Him, that He will reach down to you and make you a better person than who you are. Just, be closer to Him. And lastly, that I want to say just a short thing about that the grace that we are living under at the moment. That now I don't need to kill cows. I don't need to slaughter a goat for you to gain forgiveness. Anyway, you have to go to a butcher. Today, now Christ has died for us. And everything that we've done, Christ has laid down His life for us. And that God now doesn't look at us as sinners, but He looks at us as His Son, as one who is now righteous because of Christ. It's not because that God ignores our sin and just, push it aside, but it's because God has put our sin onto Jesus. And if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, if you turn with me, the Apostle Paul highlights for us what happened on that cross. You see, on that cross, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, we don't have to try to make ends meet anymore. We don't have to try to, to please God, so that we can have righteousness. Piousness doesn't guarantee that the final result will be God will give you righteousness. It doesn't guarantee, but God, Jesus, what He did on the cross guarantees. When you have faith in that and when you believe in what He has done on the cross, God guarantees that He will see not our sin, but see us as righteous. So this morning I just want to leave you with a few challenges so that you can go out and just apply to your life. One is that we should be humble, because humility is the key to receiving God's righteousness and God's gift and the grace of God, and then faith. We receive it by faith. And when you bow down before God, and then when you humble yourself, and when you give over the control to God, you really are praising God, because you're letting Him do what He do best, and that's forgive, and that's to rescue us and to help us. And when we do that, God praises us. That's what Jesus is saying right here. See, those who humble himself will be exalted. Or those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The Pharisees, when they heard this story about two men who went up to the temple, and that the Pharisees went home unjustified, they would have questioned Jesus. But when they look into the Old Testament and the heart of God, they realize that they're wrong. But they shouldn't exalt themselves. They should be humble. And then you should see people. When the Pharisees see people, they judge people by who they are, like the standard which they're living in. So if you don't live up to that standard, sorry, but you're not good enough for God. And that's not the attitude which we must have when we look at our unsaved brothers and sisters. And when we look at our brothers and sisters, we should look at their heart. And that's what Jesus looks at. Jesus looks at our heart, not what we do. I mean, what we do is good, but it doesn't make any difference in terms of our righteousness. So, look at people's heart, not that what they do. And speak to their heart. And speak to them as a person. Don't judge them by what they do. So we close today. Just want to pray for you. And if you feel like you've been challenged or be encouraged, I'm really thankful for that. Yeah, praise God. Holy glory to God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this evening and the things that I've shared to your people. We pray, Lord God, that as we go out today, that you'll protect us and keep us safe. And that, Lord, that those people who are going overseas to, Lord, just to serve you and to look at what you're doing overseas, I pray, Lord God, that they'll be touched and their lives will be changed, and people will come to know you and will come to know about your Son Jesus and the goodness of your sacrifice and what you've done for us through them. I pray, Lord God, that as they go, you give them a special anointing so that, Lord, they will be able to live a very testimonial in a life that reflects who you are, how you love us. We pray, Lord, thank you.